It's time for Bet News number 25, Marcus. I guess they need to know so they...
get bent.
Yeah, they do. What about that? We're pretty excited about our first item on this edition of Bent News. Nick Mason's Saucer Full of Secrets is hitting the road, and we're excited to be part of the party here, both in Philadelphia and around the country, through our friends at Pantheon Podcasts. It's something we've not done together before, Marcus. As podcasters, we're going to a show.
I know. I'm excited. It's been a long time since we've been to a show together, so to be back at a show together will be a lot of fun. And to see Nick Mason laying down some Pink Floyd jams is going to be sweet.
All the details are on our website, but you need to know that in the Philadelphia area, the show is early in the tour, September 23rd at the Merriam Theater. And people who may not have met us before, stop by and see us in the lobby, Marcus. We're going to be there meeting and greeting.
Yes, we are, but there's also a chance for you to win some front row tickets, an exclusive VIP experience to see Nick Mason's Saucer Full of Secrets here at the Merriam Theater, possibly in Philadelphia. Head over to pantheonpodcast.com/Nick Mason to enter. Find the link in the show description. You could win a pair of front row tickets to see the show. One very special commemorative guitar pick-shaped necklace carved down from drum cymbals played by Nick Mason himself.
And if you want to join us at the show, you can get tickets now at saucerfullofsecrets.com. Can't wait to talk to Nick and can't wait to get to the show. Well, now that we've done all the shameless self-promotion, Marcus, let's get to this week's update. It's finally happened, Marcus. Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley admitting publicly the Kiss may continue without any original members in the future.
We already knew that was going to happen. That dude could not set something up like that. He wants to keep his legacy making money alive as long as he can. Money, money, money.
Simmons comment, but I can conceive of, you know, the Blue Man Group or Phantom of the Opera tours around the world with different personnel. I knew it, Marcus. I knew that that was the plan all along, but it still, in black and white, looks awful sinister.
But it makes sense, and the type of show that they've had over the decades is one of those shows that can go on, and they'll be able to find musicians that can perform it live in a TSO type of show form.
In their case, Marcus, the road will indeed go on forever. You know, I thought it was pretty funny and popped onto my dashboard this week. The fact that the Duffers, the guys who created Stranger Things, were so surprised that there was such a massive burst of love for Kate Bush's Running Up That Hill after they put it in the show. They were surprised.
I don't know if anybody expected it to blow up on the pop charts the way it did. It's getting played massively on top 40 radio. The good thing about that is it's turning a younger generation on to their parents and their grandparents, dare I say it, music.
Well, at this point, buddy, it's their parents because it's back to the 80s. And Stranger Things 5, the final season, is still coming. Let's see what the Duffers cook up with that.
I'll tell you what, people are going to wonder what the songs are that they're going to put into the show, as well as what the plot will be.
A couple of weeks ago, we reported Paul Simon's surprise performance at Newport. Now he surprised everybody by going back in the studio, unretiring from the studio, as it were.
He seemed to be dried up with creative ideas when he called his retirement at that time, but somehow he found a muse somewhere and got excited and started playing again, which is good for the world.
Interesting side story. A New York cabaret singer, her name Barbara Fasano, was working at Reservoir Studios where Simon had quietly gone to start rebooting, and she runs into Simon in the kitchen at the studio and talks about how she's working on a version of his song Old Friends. So he breaks out this guitar that he's been playing for 50 years, played on a lot of famous songs. And while she sang along, he coached her on voicings and instrumentation parts for about an hour before going back to his studio. And then they made Old Friends their way. And I can't wait to hear how that came out, with a little pixie dust from Paul Simon on it, as she put it.
Whoa. That sounds like an experience.
Yeah, it is.
One of those special moments in recording history for that person.
Absolutely. The Dio legacy is creating a special moment for Ronnie James Dio fans. Dio, Dreamers Never Die. A new film will debut in cinemas worldwide September 28th and October 2nd, a two-day-only film event honoring the life of our favorite heavy metal horn thrower.
It's kind of disappointing that it's only a two-day event, and I would hope that it would be in the theaters a little longer, and hopefully it'll be accessible via streaming soon after.
Tickets now on sale through the website DoDreamersNeverDie.com. Ozzy's in the news again this week, Marcus. He's saying he's going to stir up some shit with one of his new songs.
Did he bite the head off of a
Eric Clapton?
Cricket?
It's a song called One of Those Days with Clapton playing guitar, and he has a line that says, "One of those days that I don't believe in Jesus." And he said, "Oh, no, it's not that I'm Antichrist or anything. It's about those days when everything goes fucking wrong and you're going nuts trying to fix everything up. I get it. Some people turn and say, Jesus, I need some help here." In some ways, it sounds like he was even imploring, like, you know, it's one of those days when I just don't believe in Jesus. You know, it's that bad. I guess we'll see how it plays out, but I just got a kick out of the fact that Clapton said, "I'm not so sure about the lyric." And that they tried all these different things to please Sir Eric.
He could have recused himself from the song if he was so upset by the lyrics.
Ozzy says, "Losing faith in Jesus just makes much more sense when the world is turning to shit."
It makes more sense to use Jesus.
Sensible or not, it's Ozzy. And it's coming out soon. More in the release bin coming up. Buddy, I know you're a big Mastodon fan. They've released The Making of Hushed and Grim. It's a 90-minute documentary that chronicles their Grammy Award-winning album. It's a look at the inside part of the creative process. And really great for Mastodon fans who get to see their favorites.
One of the things that I really like about this band is how they make music for each other and for themselves. And how if they like it and they're happy with the product, then they will share it with everybody else. And if you like it, great. If not, great. They made music that they enjoy making and playing together.
Marcus, I think I kind of heard something about this next story before, but Steven Tyler lately has been talking about that time when he toyed with playing with Jimmy Page. After Zeppelin did the O2 Arena shows back in 07, there was talk of a tour, and Robert Plant obviously wasn't going to do it. So he actually went and met with Jimmy. They worked on it for a few days. Basically, he said, "Hey, Jimmy, I'm really flattered. You're in one of the most iconic bands ever. I'm in one of the most iconic bands ever. I'm still in my band." And he passed. And I just took a minute and started hearing Zeppelin songs with Tyler on vocals. And it was hard for me to put together in my brain, but I'm sure it would be awesome if they'd done it.
He's got that flair and that style. It would be a mind blower to see Steven Tyler singing Zeppelin.
Sad news this week, Marcus. The final living member of Buddy Holly's group, the Crickets, passed away. The great Jerry Allison.
If you knew Peggy Sue, then you know why I feel blue without Peggy. My Peggy Sue. Oh, well, I love you, Gallies. I love you, Peggy Sue.
That is the end of a musical legend in physical presence, but their spirit will live on forever.
The Buddy Holly Center released the following statement. "We are saddened to hear about the passing of J.I. Allison. We extend our deepest sympathies to his wife, Joni, family, and friends, one of Buddy's closest friends and a true trailblazer in the music industry. The longest tenured member of the Crickets was not only a real wild child, but was also an innovator on the drums. J.I., you will be missed." And then from Buddy Holly's Facebook account, "Our sincerest condolences to the family and friends of Jerry J.I. Allison, drummer in the Crickets, one of Buddy's very closest friends and the inspiration to drummers for decades since, who passed away today at age 82. J.I. was a musician ahead of his time, and undoubtedly his energy, ideas, and exceptional skill contributed to both the Crickets and rock and roll itself becoming such a success. The great Jerry Allison, gone at age 82.
They were a young band when they made all their noise.
Couple interesting releases coming up. Looking into the new release bin, here's Marcus Goldman.
September 2nd, we have three big metal hitters. We have The Who, Rumble of Thunder, Mongolian throat metal vocalist. Fantastic sounds come out of that band. King's X, The Three Sides of One, and Megadeth.
They're back!
Seen them live, and they're great live. Megadeth also on the 2nd, The Sick, The Dying, and The Dead. Then on the 8th, you have the Afghan Whigs, How Do You Burn, Flogging Molly's Anthem. On the 9th, you have Ozzy's Patient Number 9.
We've been patient, Ozzy. Thanks for releasing the record. A lot of new releases from bands we haven't heard from in a while there, Marcus. Thanks for the quick update there. Monday, oh man, we've been working hard on this episode. Getting back into Profiles in the Blues with Muddy Waters and Willie Dixon. It's some smoking.
Oh, that's some meaty blues you're going to get on Monday.
And that's the latest Bent News update from Dark Duck Media on the imbalanced history of rock and roll. I'm Ray Coob.
I'm Marcus Goldman. And when you need to know,
get bent!